Yeah, it's, I mean, like, if you just Google Janko jeans of past and, like.
Yeah, Drew wore them.
Yeah, I cried on Christmas. His mom wouldn't buy me big ones. You see what I'm talking about?
we didn't have him in school.
Just say they weren't in very long.
Yeah, if you were, I mean, I went through like a baggy phase with like bonds and stuff like that. Yeah, that's beyond
wide leg.
You could fit like three legs in there. Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of his spirit, do better, so that together we can be a little better. Well, welcome back to the A Little Better podcast. And today, we're actually joined by a really special guest. Drew, I think you should probably be the one to introduce.
We have with me the one, the only, Drew's mom. That's how most people introduce her, actually.
Should
her
I actual reference name you as Drew's mom?
Is Marmy.
Laura, or Marmy. Marmy is really her title.
Okay.
Marmy.
In the house?
Yeah.
Marmy?
Marmy.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Or Marm.
I don't feel comfortable calling you Marmy because you're not my grandmother or my mother. But Laura, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Drew, I would love to for you to catch our listeners up. Give us a 60-second snapshot of the message.
Yeah, so we're in week two of the series on the life of Ruth. And so we basically see her and Naomi trying to figure out how they're going to make it in life. And so we see the journey of Ruth going to glean in Boaz's field and how she finds favor with Boaz because of how people have talked about how she's cared for her mother-in-law. And so in this story where God's faithful to Ruth, in the midst of her just doing the right thing over and over again, and how God blesses our obedience. And so in Ruth's story, we saw a lot of different things, things like how to honor your family, how doing the right thing never leads to the wrong path, how Boaz's provision for Ruth is a picture of Jesus. And so we just continued in the journey of Ruth and Naomi's story, and ultimately God's redemption story for us.
I'm really curious because like whenever you kind of dig, especially like a short book like Ruth, and I know you've kind of mapped out the whole series, but specifically for Ruth 2, as we're talking about, what's some stuff that's like surprised you or really stood out that as you've gone, I know you've read book Ruth or maybe even like taught Ruth before, but like what is something new or that you might not have shared during the message that's really kind of stood out for you?
I think we talked a little bit about this in pre-preach is I think when you come to Ruth, no matter how many times you've taught it, just what stands out to me is you have to understand the culture to truly like make sense of the book of Ruth, right? From like, even in Ruth chapter 2, gleaning, like no one in our society today is gleaning.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is gleaning?
It's just literally following after harvesters and taking the leftovers. So like if you know, one thing we understand in New York is grapes, right? And so if you've ever picked grapes, a lot of times you pick some and some fall,
right?
Gleaning is like picking up the squishy, kind of the ones you don't want to eat.
Right.
It's picking, it's the edge of the fields where they were told not to harvest. So they would run the edge of the fields. And so they're just, gleaning is basically picking up scraps, the leftovers of the field. And so just understanding how hard of work that is, how just mundane every day you just, in the hot sun, try to find your provision. And I think understanding the culture of how the law played a role in that, how God provided for poor, and just getting a window into Ruth's life.
Yeah, that was a really interesting point that you made of just the kind of general economics that was provided even in Leviticus, as you quoted, of this is a way in which people can provide for themselves, and it's kind of caught up in that. I find that really interesting. Laura, I'm going to throw it to you. Now, would you give our listeners just like a little bit of an insight on who you are, some of your background? Like, I don't really know you either. So like, before I start grilling you with questions, like, I'm not going to grill you, but like, share a little bit of your background.
Well, I was a teacher for a lot of years. And then at one point, Dennis and I had decided that it was time for somebody to stay home. And so I became a stay-at-home mom. I substituted periodically. I coached. I ran 4 children back and forth to practices. Wow. Sometimes we even fed the neighbor, the kids who would come home from practice and didn't have a parent at home, we would take them. And I did that for a while and then became a grandma. And then Dennis passed away. And so, you know, we were active in church, I believe. Taught Sunday school. Dennis and I taught marriage classes. We counseled. We had some people at our table every Monday night for 2 years. Marriage counseling and stuff like that. And then when Dennis passed away and I came here, I started to minister here at Northridge.
I love that. I don't want to presume, but it sounds like even some like to hear of your husband Dennis passing away, it sounds like there's some similarities there between you and Naomi. And I'm curious from your standpoint, not necessarily specifically on that point, but give us some insight from your perspective. Do you resonate with Naomi? How do you resonate? Like, what's kind of stood out for you so far as we've gone through the first couple of chapters of Ruth?
Well, I understand Naomi's pain as far as losing the love of your life, but I can't understand her pain for losing 2 children on top of that. I mean, the grief that was there. But I think it takes Naomi a while, but God's provision started out being Ruth. I mean, he gave her Ruth. For me, I had family. I had support around me. I had Drew and Ashley who asked me if I wanted to come and stay. But there's, you know, a point where you have to reach out and take that help and then move on. And for me, ministry was a great way to move on.
What was that? So, like, even last week we talked about how it's sometimes hard to receive that help. What was it like that for you?
Well, I've never lived on my own, so I knew that wasn't something I was looking forward to. But if you look back at our story, there's just ways that the way it worked out, the way that Drew came here, that Drew has an apartment in his basement and that he's close to Barry, he's close to the lake. You know, it's just like the Lord started to lay it all out before it even happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he provided for me. You know what I mean? And so
I think, you know, you see that. What's interesting is, like, I think our story kind of parallels Ruth and Naomi's of, you know, obviously mom didn't lose 2 children, but dad leaving was such a shock and so hard on everybody. And then, you know, to honor my wife, like, I don't know what it's like to live with an in-law. I can only imagine. But my wife and my mom have lovingly and just graciously learned how to live with each other, and they do it so well. And it's been kind of cool to see the journey. And like mom said, God was already providing for dad's death before he ever died. Just some of the decisions that we made that we had no clue what was over the horizon, but God just laid the footprint before us before we could ever see it. It was kind of like, wow. And I think it's kind of cool, the parallels of our journey and through, you know, Naomi and Ruth's journey. I can easily see how God did what for us, what he did for Ruth.
And Ashley sent me a card a little bit after Dennis had passed away. It's still hard. She wrote those words to me. That
what words?
What Ruth wrote to me.
Your people will be my people.
My people.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Ashley wrote those words to me. I still have them.
What a gift.
Yeah. I mean, and it's your daughter-in-law. It's not that my daughter or my other sons wouldn't have taken to me, but Ashley did, and she wrote those words to me, and I just thought, how blessed am I?
Right. I can't imagine the dynamic, I'll say, of inviting a parent in or an in-law in to stay, and I'm sure that that's had its ups and downs with that. In the same way, I'm not going to ask you to go into all of those things, but I'm curious, like you made the point earlier in the message, like doing the right thing never leads to the wrong place. And I'm sure at some point there's been instances along that road where you saw that as being the right thing. And there's maybe been times of like, man, I'm not sure if, was this the right thing to do? But I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear, I mean, I know I have my own story in that as well, just feeling like, I feel like I'm doing the right thing, but man, it does not feel like this is the right place. I'd love for you to kind of expound on that, maybe from both of your stories of where you feel like, you know, I really believe I'm doing the right thing, but this does not feel like the right place.
I think early on, was when it felt like that the most, because we're all just grieving. And all of a sudden it was kind of like your life not only changed from the standpoint of dad's gone, but now I'm reminded of dad's gone every day because mom is here. And it was just hard to like navigate. And, you know, as much as we had the things somewhat in place, they still needed to change. Our lives were going to change. And I think over time and healing, what felt awkward now feels like home, right? Like Ashley and I talk about this all the time, is like, you know, from, it's been what, 4 years since dad died? Early on, I was like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. Like, this is just hard for everybody. But now it, like, I can't imagine my life and what it would be like without mom living with us. And my kids like love it. It's, there's just so many, don't get me wrong, there's times where it's hard and there's difficulties, but we've navigated those. We've openly had conversations. We've shifted things in our house around to make it function the way hopefully we would like it to. I'm sure mom wakes up in the morning when our kids are banging and wondering like, was this the right choice?
I love it.
But it's been such a blessing.
That's cool. Maybe go back into a little bit of, not necessarily with this situation, but I'd love to hear from you, Laura, of what's been some instances or an instance in your life where you're like, I'm trying to do the right thing, but it just doesn't feel like the right place. But at the end of the day, you saw it to be the right place for you.
Well, it took a while because remember, I moved to a brand new place. Mm. I didn't know anybody here. I left everything I knew behind. And so I was, in a sense, starting over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. It just, I don't know that I ever felt it was the wrong thing. I was just asking God if it was the right thing. And it took me a year. And I remember at one point I said to Drew, I think it's time to get in a small group. And he said to me, who are you and what'd you do with my mother? Because it was just taking me a while. And that was the beginning, I believe, for me of moving forward. Mm-hmm. And then after I did that, I asked if I could teach a small group. And now I started to meet people. And for me, ministry is an important part of life. And as soon as I got back into ministry, I started to feel like I was home.
Mm. And you taught, so she leads a group at our house on Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. It's a women's group. And you recently just taught them Ruth, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, we did the Book of Ruth.
And I heard earlier that you came in and said, I think I taught Ruth better than you did. Yeah.
I told her last Sunday. I walked in because a mom makes us dinner on Sundays, which is, you know, talking about a blessing. So we had spaghetti and meatball sauce on Sunday, right? Every Italian stream. And I walked in and I was like, hey, mom, I talked to all your ladies in your group and they told me I taught Ruth better than you did.
Yeah, and I told him, you should have. I paid enough for that education.
thanks so much for your honesty, honestly, from both of you. It's like, I'm not sure it's a entirely unique situation, but it can be a very complicated situation. I'd love to kind of narrow in a little bit to Ruth too, and just get from either of you or both of you, what stood out like from Ruth too that really kind of struck home for you? What are you kind of taking away from it?
For me, it's Ruth's commitment to do the right thing. Doing the right thing is hard sometimes, especially when your life honestly stinks, when you're hurting, when you're grieving. Like, you honestly, when you're hurting, you just want to do whatever feels good. And usually whatever feels good is selfish and sinful. Mm-hmm. And I remember when dad died, I was so tired of the hurt and the pain that I just wanted something that felt good. And in those moments, it's so easy to compromise. It's so easy to just, you know, go down a wrong path. And I just, what stands out to me in Ruth is like, her situation was harder and she just keeps doing the right thing, providing for her mother-in-law. This is her mother-in-law, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy for me because this is my mom. Like, right. I owe her so much from all the things. Like, I can't imagine being an Ashley in this situation. Like, mom didn't raise Ashley. Like, Ashley doesn't owe my mom anything, really, realistically, from a worldly perspective. And Ruth just keeps loving and providing and working. And I just think that's commendable and beautiful.
Yeah, I think the fact too that by her taking the initiative to go to the field, when they asked who she was, they were like, this is the woman taking care of Naomi.
Right.
I think she had a testimony. Mm. And I think that was the thing. Her testimony started the path.
Yeah, there's something really beautiful about that. And it said, at the beginning of, it was a relative of Naomi, of the clan of Amalek. I'm like, clan, cool. Are they from Scotland?
That's you know? Right.
But they, just this reputation had preceded her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such an important point, at least for me as I'm taken away from it, of how important our reputation is. Mm-hmm. Not simply mm-hmm. just of like, I think it's even more so as a Christian,
that's right.
as we're bearing the name of Jesus, it's important, but mm-hmm. just as a good testimony. Human being
mm-hmm.
Is having a reputation that is of kindness, of goodness, of generosity, and it can precede you, and even a bad reputation can precede you as well.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been the whole other way around if it wasn't for Ruth's integrity and ability to, a determination, grit to keep doing, as you're saying, the right thing, then maybe that reputation and the whole story would have unfolded in a completely different way. I'd love to dig in a little bit more of some of the application. I mean, I love that point of like, and I think that's one of the key takeaways is doing the right thing might not feel like it's the right place, but we got to trust that it always will.
That's right.
But what are some of the other applications that we can take away from this passage that you want to hit on?
Go ahead, Mom. I go first all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, the reputation was a big part of it, but she was also willing to put the work in. It took work. It took hard work,
yeah.
but she was willing to do the work that it took to get to that point. And though that was one of the things that people noticed, that she was just willing to put the work and the energy mm. and the effort and the love that she had for her mother-in-law, mm. you know, and that she left everything behind and followed this woman no matter what the cost.
Yeah. And Britt said this last week on the podcast, or she highlighted that it's so easy to kind of look at this short, honestly, summary of a life in four chapters and just kind of miss some of the nuances like yeah. you're bringing out of like, gleaning a field is not glamorous or a good place to be. And it's, we don't know actually the dynamic between Ruth and Naomi.
Yep.
It could have actually been more tense than it's laying on.
Right.
But yeah, just her ability. It sounds more glamorous sometimes as just it reading does, the pages yeah. than it actually is.
But. Yeah. And even the timeline, we talked about this last week. And I also like, I didn't mention this in my message, but throughout the Bible, I think Ruth is one picture of this, is when we are broken and often in hard, difficult circumstances, it's usually one of the best places we can be in. It's not what we would choose, but it's often where we see God work the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a side of Ruth. I think the faithfulness of God, unfortunately in my life, I can go through spots where I see God's faithfulness and I forget God's faithfulness. And that's the story of the Old Testament, right? That's Israel, right? God provides, they forget,
yeah.
he provides again. And I just, you know, with the nation of Israel and my own story, I can see this repetitive theme of God constantly reminding me, even though I can't see it or feel it, he is faithful, he's there, he's always working, he's always doing things for my good and the best, even if I wouldn't agree with it. You just get to see that thread throughout the story of God's hand and sovereignty and faithfulness for Ruth, for Naomi, and ultimately for me. Because through, you know, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but through Ruth, God is going to produce a savior.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I want to, well, obviously we've just had Mother's Day. Unfortunately, Mother's Day in Scotland is not the same day. Father's Day is the same. This is for free. but I am horrible at remembering the Scottish one, but it's Mother's Day in America. And I'd love to kind of expound a little bit on the honoring your father and your mother, and you kind of broadened that out to family as well. Give us a little bit more of that definition of honoring, and I'd love to hear what are some of the ways in which would be, I will say this, I think you did a really good job of acknowledging the hard relationships or those that may have passed away. And I think that's such a valid point, because we can live so much in the utopian idea of what the relationship should be, but the reality of it is there's going to be tensions. Yep. So yeah, like, expound on what it means to be honoring of the family.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's easy. I said this in my message, like, I had awesome dad, awesome mom. I have awesome in-laws. So like, it's easy to honor people who, you know, at least in our minds, we think deserve honoring. Sure. But I think one of the ways that, like, I've tried to honor my mom is just by, like, she took care of me from, you know, zero to, you know, still now. But like, it's the way I honor my mom now is by taking care of her. And that looks differently. It's not like I'm, you know, taking care of her. She can take care of herself, but just, you know, inviting her into our home and allowing her to be a part of our lives, allowing our kids to have a relationship with their grandma and spend time with them, you know, taking her out to dinner. Like, there's so many ways. Telling her how awesome she was, admitting when I was wrong and the stupid things that I did, asking for forgiveness for the times where I wasn't a good son or daughter. There's just a lot of ways that I think you can honor your parents. I would be curious, Mom, of all the things that I just mentioned, like, what are the things that I've done that have made you feel like you are honored?
Great question.
Well, I think honor is placing high value on something. And when somebody cares enough about you and what maybe your future looks like and invites you to live with them in their home and to be an integral part of their life, you know what I mean? And I don't mean just cooking dinner, but I get to do Awana with Joelle, or I get to read with the kids, to let you be part of the everyday life. Ashley's always telling me, you have value, tell me. Ashley will ask me questions like, what did you do for boys? That says that maybe I did something right, that your daughter-in-law who loves you, who doesn't have to love you, comes to you and asks you questions like that. You know what I mean? That was just, that's what makes you feel important. And I think that was something their dad taught them in our home. Drew does the same thing. Children don't talk in a disrespectful way to their mom because they're to honor their mom because that's the value of her in the home.
I think that's a really good point. Just not only inviting, you know, your family in, or especially, you know, your elderly, your grandparents or your mom and your dad, but also seeking out their wisdom. One thing about, like, the term elder is experience, right? You know, mom has, you know, 30 more years of life than me, and she's seen a lot more, and being able to say, you've been there, you've done that, I value your wisdom. I think that's a huge way you can honor people, by asking them not only to be a part, but like, speak into what you see. How in what ways can I be better? Because you're going to see it differently than I do.
That's really cool. Well, we are right about out of time, unfortunately. I'd love to just keep picking your brain, and especially you, Laura. I'm sure there's just so much wisdom and so much.
Just kidding.
We all kind of know what to expect, I'm afraid, but
the lid is very low.
But I'd love to give us a snapshot of what's to come next week in Ruth 3.
Yeah, so we're going to begin to walk into a picture of the ultimate redemption and just the term guardian redeemer, and how Boaz steps in and begins to play the role of Jesus in our ultimate redemption. And so, it's going to be a unique chapter 3 is unique. There's some very weird and unique culture things that happen that in our, when we read it, we're going to be like, wait, what is happening here? But I think when we understand the culture, we get to see the ultimate picture of how God redeems us.
I love that. Is there anything that would be helpful for someone to, like, read ahead, or to any resources that you might advise us to kind of somewhat prepare us for this big cultural shift that we're about to experience?
So believe it or not, I'm going to move my mic. We have a book. When I was actually getting ready to study the Book of Ruth, I knew my mom taught it, and their ladies go through books like this. This is a great resource. This is Ruth, Fields of Grace. I did not write it. I get no royalties from it, just so everybody knows. But this is a great resource. It's easy reading. It's day. There's journals. It's a great, like, this would be great to pick up and read after this series.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because this is going to take you deeper mm-hmm. and give you even greater insight.
Sweet. So Ruth, what was it called?
Fields of Grace.
Fields of Grace.
Yeah. If you just Google, it's Daily Grace Daily Company. Grace.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get a link on down at the bottom of our description, somewhere down there. But thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And thanks so much, Laura, for joining us mm-hmm. once again. Well, I think was this the first time?
Yes, it is.
Well, hopefully we'll have you back. Great conversation. See you next week.